Thank you so much. I know what we're going to do now, which may seem a little unusual to some of you. I don't care really. Because it's not offensive, it's just you might have questions as to why we would do something like that. Those of you who have seen, those of you who have ministered to people and seen a healing in the last 2 to 3 years, I want you to come up. I know it's going to disturb the order of all these things, but I want you to come up, and I want you to put some of the blankets on your lap, and I want those blankets on your lap while I'm speaking. Now, if you've ministered to somebody and you've seen them healed, it doesn't matter what level of condition, in the last 2 to 3 years, I would like you to come up and take some of these blankets and put them in your lap as we preach. It's got nothing to do with whether you feel worthy or not. That's not the issue. You have to work that out with the Lord, because the scriptures will show you your worthiness in Christ. What I do want to do is I want to draw on that anointing that's in your life, and that anointing that has been evidenced by somebody being healed. So that's what I want to do. So could you please come up? Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Just take several blankets. I know. I hope everybody knows what their blanket looked like, because this is going to be a jumble now. But take several blankets. Murray, you need more than that, mate. Just take another few. I just want to have one for myself. That'll do. It'll do. Oh, some of those are spare blankets. Oh, thank you so much. Excellent, to babies and all sorts of things. Fabulous. Thank you. I just so appreciate the faith and the attitude that you've responded to this in. And we haven't done this before like this. And it's not something that we, you know, sort of just do it because we dream it up. It's coming out of a genuine sense that the Holy Spirit revealing to do that. So that's where the faith is. Just let me go to my notes. You'll see as we're sharing, you'll see. And if you haven't ministered to anybody in the last 2 to 3 years where there's been a healing, don't be discouraged by that. Push in. Feed yourself on miracles. Feed yourself things of the word to do with miracles and to do with healing. We do know that there are people who have grown in something, or God has just released something to them that is, they're operating in a stronger level of faith for healing and the release of healing through their lives, if we want to call it the gift of healing or gifts of healing. We know that's a fact because the Bible says that. So don't feel insecure by that. But the word does also say desire the best gifts, and it's in the context of prophecy, but it's also gifts plural. And so you can. It's right for us as followers of Christ to cultivate and to go after the gifts of the Spirit. And don't let religiosity or religious thinking or cessationist thinking or any of that sort of stuff cause you to think that you are somehow thinking more of yourself by going after the things of God and after the gifts of the Spirit. That's the right thing for a believer to do. So that old religious attitude and that old false humility attitude, I just want to break that over you, and I just want to break it off your minds and off your hearts, because that is a religious construct fundamentally born out of the pit of hell to try and disempower the body of Christ so that God is not glorified to the level that he can be glorified in the earth. And so the reason I'm hungry for the power of God to move, the evidence of the power of God manifesting in people's lives with this healing and deliverance, because fundamentally it brings my Father, it brings your Father glory. This is one of the key ways that Jesus glorifies the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit and signs and wonders and miracles working through you and I. And it's a very key thing. Religiosity has moved it to the fringe. The river of God, which is mainline Christianity, the river of God, brings it to the center because it's in the river of God. And out of you flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Amen. So, if you've got a Bible with you, turn it to John chapter 14. I'm going to read quite a chunk of John chapter 14. And thank you to all those who contributed prophetically this morning and just releasing what you felt the Lord was saying or what you felt the you had unction in. Thank you. I always am encouraged when people are stepping out and people are contributing and bringing what they believe the Lord is saying. It always encourages me because it indicates to me that people are engaged and people are open to the Holy Ghost and seeking out what he's endeavoring to say. So thank you. The reason I've got this around my neck is just one of the blankets. It'll become apparent soon enough. Thank you so much, musicians. Give them a great God bless this morning. Give the sound team a God bless and the live stream team, God bless. Give the car parking people a God bless. Amen. And the children's ministry, let's bless the children's ministry. People are putting on the cup of tea and the coffee and it's just awesome. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you as we come to your word. We have a high esteem of your word, a high value, a high view of your word. Thank you that your word is inerrant in all its original languages. And Father, it's God-breathed. You breathed and you moved on the men of old that penned these letters and these books and these accounts, these prophecies, these historical records, all of the different things that make up your word. Look, you moved on them and you moved on them with your spirit and by your spirit to write what they wrote. Father, we know that sometimes we don't always understand things contextually. We don't always understand things in terms of what they meant in the original culture. But Lord, that's just the challenge that we have as humans. But Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the teacher. Come and open our minds. Come and open our hearts. Open our lives to your word. Everything that's born of you, let it remain in us. Let it take root in us. Lord, your word says that we're born again by incorruptible seed. And your word is incorruptible seed. And so when we welcome your word into our lives and mix it with faith, it becomes engrafted in us and it saves our soul. It transforms us and causes the new creation to be formed in us. We thank you for your word. Open our eyes today. Give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, as we give this morning. We just bless you with the offering today. We honor you and submit to you. And we just say, Lord, open the windows of heaven. Cause the devourers to be rebuked. Lord, cause abundance to flow more than anybody can contain. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. John chapter 14, verse 1. And I'm going to read right through to verse 17. My glasses are fogged up, so that's no good really. Yeah, there we are. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says this in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a good word right there. Let not your heart be troubled. Why is it he's saying we've got the power to not let our heart be troubled? Because there's plenty of opportunity in this world for our hearts to be troubled. But he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Let your heart be at peace. Let your heart trust me. Let your heart know that I'm working things out. And he is. He really is. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. This is Jesus speaking. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, and it was a fair question. It was a fair question. Don't beat up on Thomas. Thomas was an awesome disciple. He had some honest questions, that was all. God did awesome things through him. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and we do not know the way. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus keeps speaking to Thomas and everybody listening. He says this, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Philip wasn't quite catching on to it. Because Jesus makes a statement and then Philip still hasn't quite got it. And that's okay, I'm not sure if I would have either. Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. There is incredible sufficiency in encountering the Father. So what I would say there. Verse 9, and he said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Verse 12. Most assuredly, that's a pretty high level assurance. There is no higher level of assurance than Jesus saying, most assuredly. Jesus is truth. Didn't just tell the truth, didn't just speak the truth. He is the truth. He is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning. He was face to face with God in the beginning. He was in total fellowship with the Father, with God in the beginning. Jesus, the Word, who is the eternal Son, the eternal Word, everything has been created through him. He is the eternal Word. So he's the eternal truth. He's not a truth in the sense of a thought or an idea or a truth. He is the truth. He is the eternal Word of God. There is no higher authority that can, or assurance that can be given on earth than Jesus, the truth, saying, most assuredly, I say to you. Do we get that? I'm laboring on that a little bit because it's such an essential understanding that when Jesus speaks, when Jesus says, most assuredly, there is no higher authority than that. You may get that, you may not. Most assuredly, I say to you, he or she, I can add that because it's a generic, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Most assuredly, I say to you. How much has that been pulled down in people's minds to match some sort of level of experience? I'm convinced of this. I'm not going to pull this down to fit any measure of experience I've currently had to this point. I've got to leave my heart open to this. I cannot form conclusions in my heart that negate this or contradict this or water it down or put it into a religious capsule or put it into a religious prison and bury it. I've got to allow my heart, regardless of whether I've had success in every prayer and every dimension of what I've asked Jesus, or whether I haven't, because Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you. So if my experience doesn't come up to his word, it's not a problem with his word, because it was most assuredly, I say unto you, the living eternal word has declared it. So it leaves me with this conclusion. I'm growing in understanding. I'm growing in revelation. I'm growing in submission. I'm growing in my most holy faith. And I am approaching the point where this becomes more my normal experience than something that is exceptional for a few. And the problem with religiosity or religious reductionism or humanistic reductionism is it reduces the word of God to the content of people's experience. How low do you want it to go? But the word of God, the eternal word, the one who was with God in the beginning, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 1. This God who created all things, who put together every molecule that forms your body, that holds those molecules together so that you don't disintegrate, that holds this planet together by the word of his power so that the planet doesn't disintegrate. This living God who created all things has said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, that same level. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. That because is the most important because. Everything is connected to the because I go to my Father. The because I go to my Father is the legal foundation for everything we have in the kingdom of God and everything we have in Christ. Without Jesus going to the Father, there was no blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There was no blood to be presented before the heavenly altar, the one at which the earthly one was a copy of. Therefore, if Jesus hadn't done that, there would be no legal basis for our assurance of salvation and our cleansing of conscience through the forgiveness of sins. We would still be dead in our sins. Because I go to the Father is an incredibly important statement. When he went to the Father, he went with the keys of hell and death. When he went to the Father, he went with captivity that had been captive that he had liberated. When he went to the Father, he went to ask the Father to send Holy Spirit, and then both of them in agreement together sent Holy Spirit to the church so we could be filled with the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son himself and actually be led and moved and taught and empowered, healed, delivered, set free, overcome, everything by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus made the way for him to be sent to us. Because I go to the Father is an incredibly important statement. And because I go to the Father, it meant there was a whole company of people in the earth who were going to be washed from their sin, who were going to be cleansed in their consciences, who were going to be born again in their spirit, who were going to come into unity with the Spirit of God and become one spirit with Christ, who would then bear the nature of Christ in the earth, who would be mature as sons of God, being able to come into the full inheritance of Christ, by which the whole of creation would be redeemed, because I go to the Father. It's the most incredibly important statement. Because I go to the Father. The reasons you and I can expect great miracles and great healings and great things to happen through our lives and through our ministries because it brings glory to the Father is because Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you. Not because I've said it, it's because Jesus has said it. The reason I have an expectation that things are going to get better in the kingdom of God, that the miracles are going to get greater, the healings are going to get greater, the dynamics are going to get greater, the level of deliverance is going to get greater, is because Jesus said, anybody who believes in me, these things shall he did. What were the these things? He walked on water. I don't like the line in that song that says he's the only one that can walk on the water. I'll be honest with you. It's a nice song in some regards, but it's denying the possibilities of believers. Jesus said greater things. Just saying. Who's pulling things down to a religious box? Let's break off these restrictions and let the possibilities explode in us. God bless whoever wrote that song. They had a great intent in terms of glorifying Jesus, but there's things that get said that when you really think about them, it might be a nice word in a song, it might carry a nice intent of glorifying Jesus, but it actually denies who Jesus says his followers, his believers can and will be. And we can't do that. It's like going up to somebody, and a great man or a great woman, and somebody who's just been an amazing person, and they're just, you know, worthy of really great compliment, and saying, man, you're just such a great person, you're such an amazing woman, you know, you've been able to do this, and you've been able to do that, and you've been able to, but your children won't be able to do that. But your sons and daughters won't be able to do that. You're the only one who could do it. Like me saying to Noah, your children won't be able to prophesy. Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, Noah, great prophecies. You know, you can preach well. I could really praise you up, but your children can't do that. You know, I know you'd boot me in the shins, and I'd have terrible... I'm just trying to make a point. Don't limit the family of God below what Jesus said the family of God might be able to do if they believe in him. The world is full of religiosity that's pulled the church and believers down to just somebody who's dependent on some ceremony on a Sunday. This room is loaded with potential. Absolutely stunning potential. And I have that on high authority. That's why I just get so excited when I hear that somebody stepped out and stepped out in faith, and they've done something, and something wonderful has come about, whether it's a healing, a deliverance, or some ministry thing, or something that Jeff Jolin loved somebody and helped somebody. I'm thinking, oh, that is just so good. Come in, the Australians. Even creation's getting excited. This is not taking any glory away from Jesus. This is glorifying Jesus. This is not us trying to puff ourselves up. This is us endeavoring to get free of the limitations of the things we've sometimes believed or we've come to unfortunate conclusions on. There are stories in this room of encounters with God and encounters with God and prophetic intercession and all sorts of things that if all the stories were told would absolutely blow your mind. Janet's going to share of a few of her experiences tonight, which she hasn't shared publicly before. I don't think you've ever shared these publicly before. And this is not in any way to puff Janet up. It's just it just feels right time for Janet to teach a bit into prophetic intercession and tell you of a few experiences with good evidence now that'll really encourage you to be open to what God may want to do through you. But I know there's also other people have got stories in this room that would just blow your mind. Just awesome. And it's just so good. So come and even be just inspired tonight if you're not, you know, if nothing else, come and be inspired. So we have it on the highest authority that the believers, the ones who follow it, the believers in Jesus, these works will you do, and even greater works will you do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 15, it says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Or Passion says, loving me empowers you to keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Wow. What a phenomenal statement. Now, what is this? What are these blankets and everything up here? And some of the blankets you're holding in your lap. What's the deal with that? Let's go on to Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. A very well-known passage and a beautiful story, wonderful story, of a woman who had a flow of blood, an issue with blood, a bleeding situation for 12 years. I mean, that's a terrible thing. That's so draining, so many implications for her. She'd spend everything she could spend that she had to spend on physicians and various things, and that's not speaking against physicians these days. I'm not saying that, but that's what she'd done, and none of those physicians were able to help her with whatever techniques or ideas they had. She'd only grew worse. So she's come to this place in her spirit, in her heart, where she says to herself, if I can get to Jesus, if I can touch the hem of his garment, something, I'm going to be healed. So we pick up the story in Matthew 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, this is where internal talk is so important. Internal dialogue, internal talk, engagement with the word, engagement with the hope, engagement with faith, engagement with what she knew, who she knew Jesus be. Because she said to herself, or she said within herself, if only I might touch his garment, I will be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well that very hour. Now, Mark elaborates the story a bit more. I love it in Mark. For some reason, I've chosen Matthew. But she touched the hem of his garment. Last week, I said how even the garments of people who are carrying the Spirit of God and of carrying the anointing of God, even those garments can transmit the anointing when somebody lays hands of it, touches it in faith. I made the comment about Benny Hinn used to get in trouble for you know, touching people with his jacket, and they'd get touched in the Holy Ghost and so on and so forth. People used to mock that. But I want to tell you, there's no different, really, to somebody touching the hem of Jesus' garment. People say, oh, but no, but it was Jesus. Oh, no, hang on now, what did we just say? What did we just say out of John 14? If anybody, he who believes in me, these things shall he do, and greater things shall he do, because I go to the Father. People accept great things of Jesus, but they're reluctant to accept great things from his children. And yet Jesus said greater. See, Jesus didn't have a problem with his brothers and sisters coming into great dimensions of the things of the kingdom because of what he was going to do and being the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world and prepare a whole people to become the family of God. Jesus wasn't threatened by the idea of his believing followers doing greater things. Let's think about this. Jesus is not insecure. Jesus is not jealous. Jesus is not worried that you might do something greater than he did in his name, and therefore people might think more of you than think of him. He knows if that happens, it'll just create trouble for their hearts, and that'll get sorted out. He's not insecure. He's he's the eternal truth. He's the spirit. He's the Father that walked among us. And he's delighted when his sons and daughters, or in Jesus' case, when Jesus' brothers and sisters actually believe in him and do awesome things because the Father's getting the glory. He's not insecure. He's not insecure. Oh, but God won't share his glory. No, he won't share his glory if you're trying to take it for yourself. But if you're in Christ, and you've been filled with the Spirit, you've already received his glory. More can come on you. More manifestation of glory come on you. But if you're in Christ, you've been baptized into him, you belong to him, you've received his Holy Spirit, you've received his glory. You haven't tried to take his glory. You've received his glory. Some of you might need to go and just do a bit of search and a few concordances just to establish that fact for yourself. See, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 3, it says this. Matthew, it's also repeated in Mark chapter, I think I'll read it from, will I read it from Mark or will I read it from Matthew? Just take a vote on that, shall we? I'm going to read it from Mark. It's just a little bit more expanded, a little bit more dynamic. Mark chapter 6, verse 53. Sorry about the confusion there, Christy. Mark chapter 6, verse 53. When he had crossed over, that's over the lake, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. Verse 54. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. And we're just going to think this through in a moment or two. Says verse 56, wherever he entered into villages, into cities, not just one city, but cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Now, those of you who have studied out Hebrew things and things of Hebrew tradition and so on, you'll know that a number will say that Jesus wore a prayer shawl, or a modern type of that would be the sort of a scarfy kind of thing, and it would have colors woven into it, have some sort of tassels at the bottom, and there'd be certain colors threaded in there. Blue, I think, was one of them. I can't remember the exact colors. I haven't got it in my memory. And the thought is that That shawl or that thing he wore to many people represented something of the priesthood. It represented something of the holiness of God, but also woven into those fabrics were certain colors that apparently, and the tassels and so on, that represented the promises of God. Beautiful picture. So whether, when the woman pressed through and touched the hem of his garment, a number of commentators say that that's what she was doing, touching that edge of that shawl. Therefore, she was laying hold, in a sense, of the promises of God. Beautiful picture. But here's the deal. It was the anointing that flowed out of Jesus that healed her. It was the anointing, it was the power of God, the ability of God, the ability of the Holy Spirit to heal, that flowed out of him and touched that woman and caused that situation to be completely healed. Her action was, I believe if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. That was her. That was what she said inside. There was this faith dynamic that caused her to press through that crowd, press through that situation, because he was in a big press of people, and get the edge of that garment. Now, whether everybody around heard of that story and decided, we'll do that too, or whether there was some sort of general idea and revelation amongst the people that somehow that's what you could do, I don't know. All I know is this, that when people decided that if they could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, they would be healed, and people got those people to a place where he might be, where they could reach out and touch the hem of his garment as he's passed by, it says they were healed. And it says in towns, plural, cities, plural, and in the country, I have no idea how many people that may have ended up being. But it was such a phenomenal move of God, if you like, such a phenomenal encounter that those regions had, where they touched, they reached out themselves and touched the edge of Jesus' garment, and power flowed into them, and they were healed. What incredible testimony there must have been. Let's just think about it. Jesus is in the square. It's becoming known that Jesus is healing and performing miracles, and there's these phenomenal things starting to happen. So other believers go to the hospitals, go to all the hospitals, go to the mental health places, go to the hospices, go to where people they know are sick, where people they know are lame, and they get them all into the square somehow. And all they do, Jesus, let us touch the hem of your garment. Jesus moves around the square. He's sharing, he's teaching. And they're touching the hem of his garment. And they're getting off their stretchers. They're getting the life support's being pulled out. The drips are being pulled out. Cancers are falling on the ground. Demons are coming out of people. People who haven't walked for years are getting out of wheelchairs. What sort of effect would that have on this city? What effect must have it had on that region? So where am I going in this, and how does that relate to these blankets? We come down into Acts chapter 19, which we've referred to a couple of times. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, now God worked unusual miracles. So in the eyes of Luke, in the eyes of the writer, these were still considered, even at that time, unusual. Otherwise, they wouldn't be called unusual. So even in that time, even in that space of time, they were considered unusual. They were considered unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, whether it was by the hands of Paul being laid on people, but then it goes into this issue of handkerchiefs and aprons. So that handkerchiefs or aprons were brought to the body, They were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. What do we see happening here? In the situations with Jesus, who said, these things shall he do, and even greater things shall he do. So we can't legally say that sort of thing stopped, that was just Jesus doing that. We can't legally say that in light of John chapter 14. You can't limit it to Jesus. Every miracle he did, lepers being cleansed, blind eyes being opened, cripples being healed, every miracle he did to heal people, which were all expressions of God's righteousness, none of those were limited in Jesus' mind to himself. And all the church age from his first coming to his second coming, it didn't enter Jesus' mind that when he walked doing those things, that would be the only time in the kingdom that that sort of thing would happen, because it was happening through him. And yet sometimes that's how religion or religiosity has diminished it down. And don't say that some people who call themselves Pentecostals haven't fallen into the same trap. I think I'm pushing on something. Feel like I'm pushing on something. I'm pushing an envelope out. I feel like I'm expanding somebody's thinking. I feel like I'm challenging some strongholds that even though there's been an assent that God can heal, there's been a mental assent to that, the connection between the healing power, the delivering power, the miracle-working power of God, and the regular, what people might call the regular believer, there's too much of a disconnection in our thinking. And I want to see that disconnection disconnected. I want to see that disconnection bridged. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were bought from his body. So there was some sort of touch of those aprons and handkerchiefs and that sort of thing on Paul's body, whether Paul laid hands on them, whether they had them around here, or whether they do like sometimes I've seen David Hogan do, you know, clipped into his belt, getting around like this, and people come up and he just clips them into his belt, and while he preaches then they take them away. I don't know. All I know is it says unusual miracles through the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. How on earth did that happen? There's an anointing, there's the power of God, there's the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's the anointing of God on Paul, and that anointing went through into that fabric, and the people in faith took it and laid hands on the sick people. Is it limited to Paul? If Jesus didn't limit it to himself, I'm getting into reasoning here, but I think it's sound biblical reasoning. If Jesus didn't limit the signs and wonders and miracles and wonderful healings to himself and said whoever believes in him would do these things and even greater things, then would those things be limited to Paul? Just saying. If the anointing that's on Jesus was on Jesus' body was able to flow out through fabric when people touched in faith, who is Jesus' body now? We know who the head is. Who is Jesus' body now? Has anybody got the guts to say it? We are. If you're in Christ, you've been baptized into Christ, you've been included with him, you are part of the body of Christ. The Bible says you are members of Christ. It says we're one spirit with him. And the same anointing that was on Jesus, not to be the lamb that would take away the sin of the world, that was a one-time job by a one-time suffering king. We don't have to do that. We come into the benefit of that one-time sacrifice. But the anointing that was on Jesus to minister to the broken, to befriend the lonely, to heal the sick, to cast out demons is the same Holy Spirit that has come upon you and I. Paul says even the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. So if the anointing on the body flows out through the garments, how much today you and I can be anointed where even the garments we wear can communicate the power of God. And I don't mean you put them on Trade Me or have a website selling your underwear. I don't mean that. Okay, because every now and then somebody can get weird. So I just thought I better put that out there. I'm convinced there's a growing sense of connection in the family of God with the whole understanding of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Rather than the thinking that I'm here, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and God is in heaven, and you know this, and this, and in this, in the concepts of the mind, this sort of disconnect where if I can get him to do that, then that's going to be awesome. Rather than seeing that the Father, the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son, and now the Father and the Son are in us, and that we are in him. He is in us. I think the revelation of that, the understanding of that, is yet to go deeper. And I believe as it goes deeper, that as we walk and move and live and have our being, knowing that we're in him and he's in us, and it's not just a theological thought, but it's actually an understanding that's unfolded in us by the Holy Ghost, I believe that the things that flow out of us in the power of God to bring glory to God are going to get greater and greater and greater to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, as I finish on this passage, to them God, verse 27 of Colossians chapter 1, and I could read the whole context of it, but for time's sake, sticking with this, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. In other words, there's this mystery. A mystery is something that's just been hidden. It's not a mystery as in it's really weird. It's just a mystery in the sense that it's been hidden. Wasn't disclosed. And the mystery that Jesus and the apostles had communicated to the believing Jews, is the issue of now Christ in us and Christ being formed in us. But not only that, God also intended for the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, to also come into this revelation of this mystery, which is, or this phenomenal truth that was held as a mystery for a long time, now being revealed. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One translation says, the hope of realizing his glory. I still believe that the Holy Spirit is working on this understanding for the family of God. I believe we've gone a certain way into it, and others have gone a bit further and so on, but I believe there's just a bit more yet, where this whole understanding of Christ in us, the hope of glory, is going to reach another level of understanding, revelation, and then manifestation. I really do believe, now I mean this with the very shoelaces on my shoes, that as the church that Jesus is building matures and revelation, encounter, and understanding, the level of manifestation of the glory of God through us is going to cause people to want to come to you. they want to come to you. Who knows, it could even be to such a point where they line up in your driveway and when you go out of the drive, they touch the edge of your coat. I don't know. But it's happened before. What are the possibilities? You say, but you don't know what I'm struggling with today. Most of us have struggles. You don't know the level of imperfection that's still in my heart. Most of us have things that God has, and I say most only to be conservative. Most of us have things that we struggle with. There's a difference between struggling with something and something being your lifestyle. There are things that would be our lifestyle that we need to repent of, turn to Christ for His forgiveness and His strength and His transforming power, that we may still struggle with for a while, but it's for some time, but it's not our lifestyle anymore. Okay, it's a difference. Elijah was a man with like passions, like struggles. Yet he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3 years. And he prayed again, and it rained. And the writer of that letter is saying, look, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Even Elijah, this and this, he had struggles. He was a man like us, like similar passions. So don't look at yourself and disqualify yourself because there's still some struggles. Because you are not the focus in that sense. The glory of Christ in you is the focus. The power of the Holy Ghost in you is the focus. The fact that your spirit man, your spirit woman is joined with Christ Himself, that's the focus. That's where the river is sourced. The river is sourced in your spirit, not in your soul. Our soul can struggle with things. Our soul can experience temptation. Our soul can experience where we fail at times and we have to get up and apologize and repent and receive forgiveness or whatever and put things right. But that hasn't changed the glory that's in your spirit. It hasn't changed the fact that there's a river of God in you. It hasn't changed the fact that you've been received the righteousness of God as a gift when you receive Christ. Don't look at your soul as the standard of perfection. The perfection is in your spirit because my glasses are even imperfect. But your spirit has been made perfect in Christ, and it's out of your spirit flow rivers of living water. It's out of your spirit is the faith of God. Even though you have challenges, there's still the faith of God in you. Look at the faith of God. Look at the glory of God in you. Look at the righteousness of God in you. Don't look at your struggles. Thank you, Ken. Thank you very much. Don't look at your struggles. Well, you work with your struggles. What I'm saying is your struggles are not your measure. Christ is your measure. His holiness is your measure. His righteousness in you that's been imparted into you, that's been imputed into you is the issue. Otherwise, I can pretty well guarantee that Paul could have done nothing if the standard was sinless perfection. Because I don't think for 1 minute that Paul never had a struggle. He struggled with Mark. He struggled with his own legalism. He said, I had to count it all as dung. So what we're going to do, we're probably going to lay hands on these cloths one more time. Because I believe, now that some of you have seen this in the scriptures, may just have a higher level of confidence that something of the presence of God is going to flow out of you into those cloths. And as those get taken to loved ones, the heightened possibility of the power of God to flow into their lives, whether it's immediate or whether it's over a week or over 2 months, as they continue to just to wrap themselves in that whenever they... We're not the ones putting the time frame on. Let's all stand. Could all the people with the cloths bring, or the blankets, bring them up to the front again. Lay them across the front. Lay them across here. Musicians, would you come? Now, there's a few people here that might say, in the first round, you might have said, who am I? In this round, you're saying, oh. I see it differently now. I may not have seen somebody healed in the last 3 years when I ministered to them, but I see something differently now. I see something differently now. I see something differently now. And I'm going to release that treasure which the Father's given me. Men, going to do that? We're going to do it again. So we're going to just lead us in a beautiful song, whatever that beautiful song is. Awake, O Sleeper. How about that one? Yeah, let's do that, eh? And if you don't know Jesus yet, if you've never come to Christ, if you've never begun your journey as a child of God, man, today is the perfect day to receive Christ into your life, to have your sense of conscience cleansed and to be placed into the family of God, to be forgiven of your sin, to begin life, to begin a new phase of life altogether as a child of God. That would be the most beautiful thing that could happen today. So if that's you, when people come up to lay hands on these blankets, come up with them, but then get my eye or wave to me or do something to get my attention so I know you're the one, you're one of the ones that has given your life to Christ today. Would you do that? So come on up, people. Just come up and we're going to lay hands on you. Begin to take that song away. And you may not have come up first time, but you see it a bit differently now. So come up and just release the presence and power of God. Each one of these blankets is going to go to somebody who's struggling with a condition. Maybe even something the doctor said there's no cure for. But Jesus is our cure. Jesus is our healer. So come on up, lay hands on them again. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Gula rabadan daraba sharabarun derebe shibarende. Gula rabadan daraba sharabarun derebe shibaranda. Come on up. Still, you can come up through here, maybe. Maybe not. Thank you, Father. Shala rabadan daraba sharabarunda. Gula rabadan daraba sharabarun derebe sharabarun derebe sabarunde. Gula rabadan daraba sharabarun derebe shirabaranda. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up, people. Lay hands on these blankets. Believe God to touch their lives when they come in contact with them. Gula rabadan daraba sharabarun derebe shibaranda. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Shala rabadan daraba sharabarun daraba sabarunda. Thank you, Father. Come on, let's sing this. Time for the sleeper to wake. Time for the old winds to change. It's time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Shala rabarunda. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Pour out your grace, Lord. Pour out your power, Lord. Shada rabarunda rabas sabarunda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's link hands across the place and let's pray together. You can carry on here, don't have to do that. Everybody else, if we could link hands across the place. Link hands across the place, we're going to pray together. If you can do that, see if you can link hands, maybe move across and link hands with people. Whoops, sorry. How about you pray after me? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your healing grace. We thank you for your power that you've released to us through your Holy Spirit that you sent to be with us. Holy Spirit, you are the river that's within us. And today, we release the power by faith of your river in us into every person who's sick, demonized, tormented, and has a very bad prognosis. We pray for a reversal of those prognoses. We pray the reversal. We pray the reversal of those prognoses that had no hope. But we release hope. We release hope for the reversal of prognoses. From death to life. From death to life. From death to life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you need healing in your body today, if you're unwell, you're sick, you need healing in your body, come up and now, because there's a whole bunch of people here who are primed to lay hands on you and minister healing into your life. Come on up. But I lift your hand up and identify yourself so people up here can turn and pray with you. Right. You can see people here. Everybody, you can see people here. Those of you who came up and laid hands on blankets, come and lay hands on people here. Come on up. I need your team. Come on. You guys, come on. Come on. Barry, Diane, come on up, lay hands on people. Deborah, come on. Barry and Bruce and Corinne, come and lay hands on some people if you would. Some people up the front here. Thank you, Father. Just release the power of God. Release the power of God into their lives. Thank you, Jesus. The dear lady here, Sue's here, another lady here, another man here. Come on up and lay hands on them. Believe the power of God touch them. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Andy. Pray for this man. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Praying for Sue there. Great. Excellent. Everybody. Excellent. Well, when you're ready, just move up to that end. We've got a cup of tea and coffee and so on. Thank you so much for being here.